Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through Ephesians, and coming up is a special edition of the program, as we'll be joining both Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl. They're together teaching some of the practical aspects of the role of the husband and wife right here on Back to Basics.
So here we go. As many of you know, we're teaching through Ephesians. We're doing a series within a series. We've been talking about marriage over the past few weeks, and we're going to continue for a couple more weeks. Next week, we'll move on to talking more specifically about the family relationships, the parent-child, and then we'll do one other final message in this particular series on the single life. We want to include that. I've had many singles say, you know, when are you going to say something to us? And so that'll be a couple of weeks from now. But over the past few weeks, as many of you would know, we looked at marriage. We looked at just the general biblical picture of marriage. Then we looked at the role of the wife. We looked at that specifically. And then last week, we looked together at the role of the husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And we took an in-depth look at that. So today we're going to come back and kind of just wrap this portion up, just a husband and wife portion up, by looking at verse 33. Again, husbands, love your wives. Wives, see that you respect your husbands. And so all the way through the series, I have been thinking that at some point it would be really great if my wife could join me and we could do a little bit of a team teaching thing. So this morning, that is going to happen. So Cheryl's going to come out right now. And we're going to do this together. And we've already done this twice together this morning. So we're excited to do it again and expecting God to help us through the session just as he has done with the other couple this morning. So anyway, just give you a little bit of background. All week long, last week I informed her, you know, next Sunday we're going to do this, and she was kind of apprehensive about it and everything, but, you know, I said, remember, this is where submission comes in, and so here she is, a good submissive wife with us this morning. But yesterday, as we were kind of going back and forth on sharing different ideas of what we were going to talk about and, you know, looking up different things, and as she came across a story, and she read it to me, and I thought she was reading it to me because she wanted to give it to me to use. I found out later that she was thinking about using it, and I sort of stole it from her. So I'm giving her credit right up front. But it does apply more, you know, for the men, so I'm the more appropriate one to do this. But it's about the deep-sea anglerfish, the deep-sea anglerfish. Maybe you've seen a picture of those really ugly fish are found way, way, way down in the depths of the ocean, and they've got that really extended lower jaw, and then they've got this looks like a fishing pole attached to their nose. Anyway, an interesting story about the anglerfish. Here it is. Male black sea devils is what they're called, have a much shorter lifespan than females and are much tinier in comparison. Here's the significant part. Their sole purpose is to attach themselves to a female living as a parasite. If they don't find a female, they are not even properly equipped to eat. So I thought, you know, there's something in this. There's a similarity between human males and the anglerfish males. And I think had I not attach myself as a parasite to Cheryl many, many years ago, I never really would have eaten anything beneficial or healthy. She's kept me fed quite well for the past 34 years. So I just thought that that was a relevant story to begin with today. So the points that we want to address today, I'm gonna look at it from the position of love. There, Paul says in verse 33, love your wives again. And then she's going to look at it from the standpoint of respect. And so we just got a few points here, and we're going to go back and forth. But, you know, as I was thinking through this, we've talked about a lot of things as we've looked at the role of the wife, as we looked at the role of the husband. But I was thinking about a few things that we haven't specifically addressed. And so these are the things that we're going to talk about here now. And the first one is just pertaining to the whole issue of feelings in the marital relationship, fluctuating feelings. And so the first point is love and feelings. And the question is, what do you do when you don't have that love and feeling? Remember that song from years ago? What happens when that dissipates? What happens when that's not really at the forefront of your emotional experience? Some people think that, well, because we've lost the feeling, because we've lost that love and feeling, maybe we made a mistake in getting married, or maybe this is a sign that we're not meant to be together. Maybe this is an omen that our marriage is doomed to fail. But we need to know that that's not the case at all. Because, of course, feelings fluctuate, but as we pointed out previously, love is not primarily a feeling. You remember that love is a choice, not a feeling. That love is a commitment, an act of the will, rather than an emotion. So the truth is, whenever I'm having those fluctuations in my feelings or in my emotions, I'm not to let that bother me. I'm not to let that move me. I'm just to really, you know, press forward with the commitment that I made. Go back and think of the vows that we take. Most of you, I would imagine, when you got married, you took the traditional vows to, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death do us part. You notice as you think about those vows, there's nothing in there really about emotion or feeling. It's just all about commitment through these things. And the truth of the matter is this: regardless of how you feel, you keep doing the things that love does. And when feelings are absolutely necessary, they will be there. But we just keep doing the things that love does, because love, remember, is a commitment. Feelings are going to go back and forth. Feelings are going to fluctuate. But that doesn't change anything. Don't let that trip you up into thinking that, well, maybe this is never going to work, or maybe this was never right in the first place because I no longer have those feelings. That's not what it's about. Now, personally, I've never had any fluctuating feelings. I have had just deep emotional passion for Cheryl from the day one, but she's expressed that occasionally she's lost the love and feeling, but it's when I don't shave and I look more like a homeless person than the guy she married, but we're still together, so you can see that she's doing what I'm talking about here. So there you go. That's the introduction. Your
Yesterday
turn.
Was that homeless day.
Yeah, yesterday was a homeless day. I never changed out of my pajamas yesterday.
We're so real. I don't know if this is safe. I want to talk about respect.
If you want to know what that looked like, just find Pastor Ken Sutton and look at what he looks like today. That's what I looked like yesterday. But notice, I changed to come to church. I actually did shave and put on proper clothing. Something Ken did not do. But this isn't about Ken. This is about love and respect. Go ahead.
Thank you.
She's being very respectful, isn't she?
So I want to talk about respect and restoring the emotions and the affections to marriage. So the word there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 is the word phobio, which in the Greek means to reverence or deference, to value, appreciate, or esteem. Interestingly enough, in 1965, Otis Redding wrote and recorded the song Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. And he wrote it about his wife. And he said, all I'm asking is when I come home for a little respect. Well, it hit number 35 on the charts. 2 years later, Aretha Franklin took that song, recorded it. It went to number one, and it sustained that place. She won 2 Grammys. What does that say? It says that women want respect, but we don't want to give it.
I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, because you would have gotten a ooh.
I would have gotten in big trouble.
Yeah, but these are my people. Women are natural responders. We reciprocate. We're more likely to send the thank you or to think that we need to send a thank you or feel guilty over not sending a thank you than men. They're like, well, why should we thank them? We went to dinner at their house. They got our company. Present company excluded. But we're more likely, we're responders. But we need to begin to develop that respect, especially in our marriage, especially if we want the affection to return. And I'm going to give you 5 practical ways just to work on the respect towards affection. First of all, appreciate. Just simply being thankful. Thankful for what the Lord has given you. You know, I remember being in England, and this Brian had counseled this man, and the man said, look, you know, it's not going well in my marriage. And he said, have your wife talk to Cheryl. So I was prepared, and she came walking towards me. She looked scared. She was even shaking, you know, because she had to say, you know, I've lost that love and feeling. And as she came to me, I said, I know. I know what it's like. I know that the affections are ebbing. I said, but I bet he was so handsome at one time, right? She's like, mm. And I said, and you couldn't wait to marry that man. Mm. And I said, but now sometimes he doesn't smell so good. Mm. And I said, and his muscles aren't quite as taut. Oh. And I said, and there's a little bit of a tummy now where there used to be like a 6-pack or an 8-pack or whatever it is, the pack. And she's like, oh. And I said, you know what? That happens to everybody, but this is the opportunity for real love because that man is there and that man loves you and that man is putting up with so much. And the Lord began to speak thanksgiving into her life. You know, we have to remember, years ago, a friend of mine was doing her Joyful Life homework and it had for day 2, 10 reasons to be thankful for your husband. She had to put it down and really think about it. It took her 3 days to come up with 8 reasons. She hadn't finished the last 2. And she had set it down on her kitchen counter, just with 8 filled out. She couldn't even move on to day 3 or day 4. She had to finish that day. And her husband came home unexpectedly for work. And she came around the corner, and there he was with her homework. And he took it, and he said, do you mean this? Do you mean this? And she said, yes, I put a lot of thought into that. And he said, I had no idea that you appreciated me. I have felt so unappreciated. And they prayed together to renew their marriage together. So we need to appreciate. Secondly, we need to think about what our husband does. He works sometimes at a job that he hates, but just simply to bring support and money into the home. He comes home every night. That's big. He keeps coming home every night. He protects the home. He defends the home. He loves your children. You know, that's one of the greatest things, you know, that Brian loves my kids and I love his kids, which happen to be the same kids as he brought out second service. I love his grandkids. He loves my grandkids. Again, the same grandkids. I say that only because when we were in England, somebody came up and asked me how long we had been married, and I said the first thing that came into my mind was 11. I don't know why that number came in. We had been married 16 years, but 11 came to mind. So they looked at me and they said, oh, really? Now, your first children, who do they belong to? And I said, are they Brian's? I said, no, they're mine. Oh, so where's their father? I said, Brian's their father. They said, oh, were you partnered up? I said, no, we were married. And they're like, oh. I said, how long did I say I was married? They said 11. I said 16. They're like, But, you know, even if you're mad at your spouse, don't they have cute kids? Didn't they make some great kids? Also, we need to think about what we are building. Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds her house, but the fool plucks it down with her own hands. How do we build our house? Well, we build it on the word of God, according to Matthew chapter 7. We build it with lots and lots of prayer. We build it as we pray for affection in our marriage. And God often lets the inadequate and the lesser run out that he might give us the greater bricks with which to build, the better wine in John chapter 2. Then we need to put ourselves in their shoes. What is life like for them? They're going out into the workplace. They've got these temptations all around them. What is it like for our husbands? I have a friend whose husband was always saying to her, I wish you would just understand how hard my life was. Well, she felt like he was a bit of a complainer and he just needed to move on. And she used to say that to him. At the same time, she was praying that he would take the spiritual lead in the house. One morning, she got up early. She's praying that he'd take the spiritual lead. The Lord gave her a vision, and she saw her husband's life from birth up to his teenage years. And she began to cry because it was so hard and it was so bitter. And he came out of the bedroom about that time, and he said, what's going on? And she said, the Lord gave me a vision of what your life has been, and I'm so sorry that I haven't been more sympathetic, that I just never knew. And he said, now I can trust you. I never felt like I could trust you with my heart and with my pain. And he sat down with her, and he told her even more of the things he was going through. They prayed together. At this point, he said, let's read our Bibles together and let's read Luke. And she said, no, let's read Philippians. And he said, no, let's read Luke. And she said, no, I really want to read Philippians. And he said, you're doing it again. And she realized that in that she was taking the lead away from him and she needed to give him that respect. And then get rid of unreal expectations. Now, this is going to be hard for some of you, but I have to say it. Mr. Darcy never existed. Mr. Darcy is the figment of an English spinster's mind. I know. I'm disappointed too. Most men don't talk like that. They don't have posh English accents. It just doesn't happen. And we need to remember that because the comparisons are so dangerous in marriage. And that brings in disrespect and it causes us to be unaffected. And we need to have that affection. So we can't compare. This is the gift that God gave me. This is God's gift to me and I need to recognize it as such. Finally, we need to recognize our own need for grace. And this is also hard to say, I am not the easiest person to live with. I mean, passionate is one word I like to call it, but there are other words, not as nice. But when I remember that I'm not that easy to live with, then I have so much more appreciation and respect for him, for coming home and putting up with me. So as we bring this grace into our marriage, it will help to bring the affection back.
Well, the truth of the matter is, Cheryl's fairly easy to live with. She's very, very, it's very difficult to drive with her, but to live with her is, to live with her is pretty easy. Driving's another story because she is the quintessential backseat driver.
I'm a GPS.
So this leads very well into the next subject, and that's love and conflict. Now, again, as I said earlier, you know, kind of thinking through some of the things that we felt like we might want to touch on here in the final session, this one to me is huge, because a love-filled marriage will not necessarily be a conflict-free marriage. You know, sometimes people get the idea, maybe it's because some others give the impression, you know, that if you really have a loving marriage, if you really have a godly marriage, you're never going to have a disagreement, you're never going to have a dispute, you're never going to have an argument. But that really isn't the case. And if you have those things, it doesn't mean that you have a bad marriage. I like to just refer to it as a lively marriage. Cheryl and I have a lively marriage. There's a lot of, as she mentioned first service, the proverb, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. But when you think about iron sharpening iron, what happens in that process? There are sparks that fly, right? And so sometimes that's the case. And I look over our years together, and we've had a lively spark filled marital experience, but you know, we can stand before you today and say, you know, we absolutely love each other despite all of the disputes that we've had. I've often shared this. In our first year of marriage, I think we had a pretty serious dispute every single day for the first year. We 365 days that we would find something every day to just get in a serious argument over. Year two, I think we did it every other day. And, you know, maybe by the third year, we were maybe 3-4 times a week. But, you know, that whole thing just, they were fewer and farther between. And I think after the 10-year mark, you know, then we used to have a good row every, you know, once a month or something. And now it's amazing, after 3.5 decades together, we, you know, it's like every few years we'll have a good knockdown dragout. But you know, that's quite a bit of progress, as you can see, from every day to now. You know, sometimes there's years in between. Sometimes when we're getting into a pretty, you know, serious dispute, we'll think, wow, it's been a long time since we've been in anything like this. Now, all week long, we have been walking on eggshells around each other, because I told her in the early part of the week we were going to do this, and then I thought, boy, something is going to try to wreck this thing. So I've been very sensitive to not take the bait as, you know, opportunities would come. And I'm sure that I gave her a few opportunities that she refused to take the bait on as well. You know, I don't buy this idea that, you know, people never fight, and, well, you know, if you were really a mature Christian, you wouldn't have anything like that. But listen, just because you have these kinds of disputes and things, it doesn't mean that there's not genuine love in the marriage.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics. We'll continue this message next time with Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl on the role of the husband and wife. But if you missed any part of this study, or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Love and Respect, and the resource number is BBE0035. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Forever, our hope, our strongest.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.